Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus the reading of God's word. Those last two verses may sound familiar to you from this past week. For President Bush quoted these last two verses in his speech that he gave to us, to the nation, on Thursday evening. And whenever I hear the words from these two verses, it always brings back memories for me. Whenever this passage is read, it always does. I was raised in a Christian home as part of a covenant family. I've gone to church my entire life. My parents love the Lord and love each other. And growing up, I never had too much to worry about. One night when I was in college, something happened that really shook me up. One of my friends, a fellow communications major who went to class with me on a daily basis, got a call from his family that his father had been in a car accident and that he had died. His dad had been driving down the road to work, as all of our dads do, something he did for 30 years. Somebody going the other way fell asleep at the wheel. The car crossed the median and struck his car, and he alone was the one who died. As I saw my friend sitting there, grieving, and those of us who were around him grieved along with him, we had a hard time knowing what to say. And one of the reasons for that was because we had just returned from Christmas break, and we had all just said goodbye to our fathers. And here was a circumstance that happened that we knew could have happened to any one of us if God had allowed that to happen. His dad wasn't doing anything unusual. He was going to work as he did for 30 years. yet he was taken home. That night, I remember well tossing back and forth in my bed because I couldn't sleep. And finally, about 3 a.m., I woke up and I thought, I need to read something in the Bible. And I opened my Bible and it fell to Romans 8, and my eyes came upon verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I came to realize at that point in my life that I had been putting trust and comfort into earthly things. Earthly things that will not last, that will not stay with a person forever. But in a harsh reality, because of all the events that had happened in that day and that night, I realized that there's one thing that will always stay with you: the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate the Christian from that. When President Bush quoted those words, he was speaking to a country that is afraid and that is somewhat uncertain about their future. A lot of people look back to the events of September 11 and they think of their own life and what has happened to them and what could have happened to them. How many times in this past week haven't you heard it said through some media, whether it's the newspaper, whether it's the radio, whether it's the television, life in this country will never be the same. Why is it that they're saying that? Why is it that just about everyone agrees life will never be the same? We've had terrorist attack before. We've had buildings blow up and people killed. We've had airplanes crash and been suspicious of what happened. We've had schools be shot up by kids, students in the school, killing their fellow classmates. But for many people, whenever those events have happened, it's always been like it's somewhere else. It's not in our neighborhood. But what took place on September 11 hit home for everyone, and I'm emphasizing everyone, because I have never seen the kind of thing that has taken place in the last 10 days. Whether you turn on a music station, country or classical, whether you turn on a news station, a talk radio station, a sports station, whatever it is, everybody is talking about the same thing. They're not talking about sports anymore. They're not talking about whatever was going on in their life that seemed important at the time. This is the main thing that everyone is talking about. And why? Because we all identify with what took place on that day. Many people fly airlines. Many people have flown on American or United. Many of us have looked at the places in Washington, D.C. to be some of the most secure places here on this earth: the White House, the Pentagon. Now we find out that they were prime targets. And what makes it worse for many people is that they don't know where the enemy is. Where is the person that might cause harm to us or to our neighbor or to our friends or to our family? Well, it might be in our own backyard, in our own neighborhood. One of you came up to me this week with a third-hand story, but one I want to mention for the reality of our situation. And that is that the story goes that someone was in charge of apartments, renting apartments, right here in Oak Harbor. And last week came a Canadian car with Canadian plates with an Arab man and a woman. The woman did most of the talking. And the Arab man, they wanted to rent an apartment because he said he was going to teach flying on the base. They decided not to take the apartment. And the person in charge of renting those apartments did some checking afterwards and found out that this man was on the FBI's wanted list. You see, we live in a community which is a possible threat. We go to places, public places, which are a possible threat. We live a life now where we don't know what's going to happen next at any time. Now, I don't say this morning to cause fear, for you to wonder what I should do, where I should go, should I stay home, not do anything anymore. I say this morning because the reason people are saying life will never be the same is because everyone agrees we don't know when we might face that same situation that those people faced on September 11. We try to find comfort, don't we? And the president has been very reassuring. But there are those around us who we listen to, and those former experts on TV, who all are saying this is only the beginning. Things could be worse. Well, what are we as believers to do? What are we to think? What is to be our mindset if we do find ourselves in a situation where we may face death or circumstances that those people faced on September 11? Well, Romans 8 speaks very clearly concerning these things. And as it spoke to me so long ago, it speaks to us today and forever. Look at this verse, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, when we sat there with my friend, and he had just gotten the news about his father's death, that was a hard verse to say. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If you were to talk to someone who had friends or relatives who have passed away, they would say the same thing. How does that verse help me? There's no doubt been Christians that have passed away on those airplanes and in those buildings. Do you think any of them were thinking of this verse at the end of their lives? How can we say that God would use events and circumstances such as that for the good of those who love Him? Well, go on to verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. You see, the verses that Paul follows, verse 28 with, describe the sovereignty of God. The way He is in control of all circumstances and especially our salvation. We as God's children, as His elect, as those who have been called and predestined, we have been justified and glorified in Christ Jesus. You see, God works in our lives and in the lives of all his people because he is a sovereign God. He brings about such events in people's lives for their good, for his glory, for their salvation. The circumstances we must recognize in days such as these is that this is really a spiritual battle. This is a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. This is between those who seek to cause death and pain and those who bring about salvation. And God has already won this victory of salvation, and in his sovereignty, he controls all the lives of the believers, all the lives of everyone who has ever lived. They rest in the comfort that they can never get away from their sovereign God who works good in their lives, no matter how bad or difficult it may be. Now, this week I called our travel agent because in about 10 days my family and I are leaving on an airplane to go visit my family. And I was calling to confirm my tickets. And she said, "Oh, well, I thought you were calling to cancel because just about everybody else has." Well, this is a travel agent that I've been talking with for some 5-6 years, calling, making tickets, arrangements. She knows I'm a pastor. And all those years that I've been calling there, we've talked maybe 1 to 2 minutes because she's got another customer. We talked for over an hour about the kingdom of God, about salvation in Jesus Christ, and what it means to understand the sovereignty of God in his work in people's lives. You see, God can use circumstances and things in people's lives for the good of those who love him, the good of those who he may be calling according to his purpose. But what about this sovereignty of God? How can this sovereignty of God take place? How can we be so sure that God is in absolute control of all these things? We'll go on to verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give him all things?" You see, God has guaranteed this salvation. God has guaranteed what he has predestined. And how has God guaranteed that? Because God gave up his son. You see, the Muslims also believe in a sovereign God. They believe that Allah is sovereign. They believe that Allah is in control of all things. And when something happens in their lives, their only explanation for it is, "Allah has willed it." But as Paul describes our sovereign God, he describes a God who has provided this salvation at a cost. He who gave up his own son. He who gave up his own son at that cost. Do you think he is going to let one of his chosen children go at the great cost he made to save them and to provide them that salvation? He did not spare his own son. He's not going to give you up. He has provided this salvation and will provide this salvation, and he, in his sovereignty, will bring it about. There is no taking it away from this sovereign God who has given up his son at such a great cost for this salvation. He has provided all things. But it doesn't stop there. For he goes on and says in verse 33, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us." You see, this isn't just God's sovereignty. Well, we know that God is sovereign. We know that God is in control of all things, and we just have to live with that sovereignty no matter what happens. You see, he goes on to describe what God has accomplished in history in Jesus Christ. God has sent his Son who died on the cross and who was raised to life and is sitting at the right hand of God. We, as we belong to him, have died with him and have been raised with him. As Christ went through his death and resurrection, so we as God's children have gone through his death and resurrection. So what has been accomplished in Jesus Christ has been accomplished in us. And as he sits at the right hand of God in victory over what he has accomplished over sin and death and evil, he intercedes for us. You see, the Muslims do not pray to their God in this way. They do not pray and say and plead with the Lord for their lives or plead for what they want to happen. They have to live with the statement, Allah has willed it. But our Savior, who has gone ahead of us, who has conquered sin and death and hell, and who is seated at the right hand of God, is now in glory interceding for us. We can pray to him. We know that he is near us, that he will always hear our prayers, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstances we are in. He will intercede for us forever. And we rest in the comfort that he is victorious and that he will bring about all of these events for his glory. Now notice verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You see, Paul is writing to an audience who knows all about danger and all about fear for their lives. They are facing persecution. They are facing famine. They are facing nakedness, losing all things. They are facing danger and sword every moment of their lives. But Paul reminds them, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from that. No danger, no troubling situation, no circumstances can separate us from the love of Christ. God has accomplished it in Jesus Christ. He has guaranteed it in his victory as he sits at the right hand of God in heaven. And nothing can take that away. Nothing can take that away. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now you've heard that verse before. Does it sound different now? For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul takes this quote from Psalm 44. In Psalm 44, the psalmist is writing about what God has done in the life of the history of the people of Israel. He describes how God has protected them, how God has guided them, how God has led them different places and has delivered them in various circumstances. And now he finds himself surrounded by enemies. And he thinks back upon his life and all the things that God has carried him through and God has carried his people through. And he realizes in his present danger that all of his life he has faced death. All day long. Before September 11, a lot of people didn't think about that. Oh yeah, well, you know, you could get in a car accident, or I guess maybe planes have crashed. Maybe that could have been me too. And you know, things can happen. You know, you could get the news that you get cancer or whatever. But you know, we just have to live that way. But now, when people say life is different, it will never be the same. What people have come to realize is, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But Paul doesn't end there, does he? Verse 37, know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You see the words he uses? We are more than conquerors. You see, what Paul is saying and reminding them and reminding us of is the fact that because of the salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished, we already are conquerors. We have already won this victory. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. He is in glory, having conquered sin and death. And we in Jesus Christ, who have died with Him, who have been raised with Him, we also have conquered sin and death and evil. We hear a lot of talk now about we will win this war. We will win this victory. But no one is too promising that this victory is going to come without a cost. Oh, we may get who's behind this, but once they're captured, his followers will attack elsewhere. Does that mean that we're not conquerors? Does that mean that we've lost the war? But Paul is saying that in Jesus Christ, if you find yourself someday in such circumstances, you need to remember that you are already more than conquerors. You have already won the victory over sin and death and hell. And God, in His sovereignty, according to His good purpose, is using your life for His victory. Well, then we come to the conclusion, don't we? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, if you listened closely to the speech last Thursday, you may have noticed he left out the last phrase. And maybe for political purposes he did, I don't know. But don't leave it out. That is in Jesus Christ our Lord. As Paul concludes, he reminds them of this spiritual battle that is taking place. It's about death and life, isn't it? It's about angels and demons, the spiritual realm. It's about what's going to take place in the present. It's about what's going to take place in the future. It's about powers which are hostile towards them and their lives and their faithfulness to Christ. But nothing, no matter how tall, no matter how deep, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That has been sealed. That has been accomplished. That has taken place and is marked forever and ever. And those who live their lives live as conquerors in Jesus Christ for all eternity. As I said a little while ago, in about 10 days, we're going to be getting on an airplane. And when the travel agent said, oh, you're not canceling like all the others are canceling? No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to change our lives out of fear. But I tell you what, when we get on, we're going to be thinking about that. I think everybody is. But what came to me so clearly in a college dorm room many years ago remains true to this day. It remains true and sealed in my life
forever.
Nothing can separate us as Christians from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the one constant. It is the one thing in this world that will last forever and ever, that you can never be separated or removed from. And we live our lives as conquerors. When you hear it said, life will never be the same. When you hear it said, I don't know what's going to happen next, it might be me. How are you going to respond? How are you going to live? Are you going to live with the confidence that you are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ? Or are you going to live out of fear that you don't know what's going to happen next and you need to protect yourself? I think the confidence that Paul gives us in these verses is to strengthen our faith, our knowledge in Jesus Christ, and our hope that in Him we are forever sealed and we have no fear of anything in all creation. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words in Romans 8 and the comfort it is, Lord, that nothing can separate us from you. For in Jesus Christ, we rest that not only are you sovereign and have accomplished all things, that we can trust in you in each and every circumstance, and we live our lives in this earth as citizens of heaven, not citizens of earth, that we can rest and know that our lives are centered around you and the salvation you have provided, and that whatever circumstances we may someday find ourselves, you are with us forevermore. May we live with this comfort and confidence. May we be reminded of the victory that you have accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. May we remember that we rest in Him alone each and every day as we face death all day long. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.